to Healing for Your Heart. Healing for Your Heart is a daily radio program brought to you by Amelia Kenya. God wants to dwell with you, to love, to guide, to protect, and to provide for your daily needs. God's design is for you to enjoy His presence. Healing for Your Heart is possible today. Here is your author and speaker, Amelia Kenya.
Every Christian is faced with very unique and special situations in his life. Those situations that come always test us. And when you're confronted with different situations, those that are tough, you are usually left with two solutions. You can succumb to the solution, to the problems that have come to you, or you can run towards God so that you can plug back into that power that makes you effective in ministry. We have seen that you can remain helpless, or you can plug back into God through prayer and fasting so that you can get your strength again and you become effective and you make a big difference in the world in which God has put you to serve, so that you can be very effective in reaching the needs of those who surround you. But when God's presence is missing, many times we look for substitutes. And that is why today we want to look at substitutes for God's presence. What do we put in place of God when He has withdrawn His abiding presence from our lives? We shall begin today by reading 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 to 20. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 to 20. The Bible says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, but hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." Let us go before God in prayer that He may help us as we look at the subject today, substitutes for God's presence. Father, I should confess that this is not an easy topic to handle today. I pray that your presence will be with us. I pray that you will minister to each one of us with your tenderness. I pray that you will put your arms of grace round about your children. I pray that today you'll draw us fully to your very self. Lord, help us and meet us at the very point of our need. Thank you because you love us. Thank you because you're doing all this to help us. We love you, we exalt you, for we have prayed this in Jesus' name. We are living at a very difficult time in the history of the world. When you look at men on every side, you're going to find that man's heart is very wary. Man is searching. This is very evident even from the different lifestyles that you're going to find erupting the different characters and the lack of soundness of mind that you see around. All this is nothing short of a picture of the desperate state of man's hearts that we are seeing today. You see, it is God's presence that we need today. That is because it is God's presence that is going to turn around the individuals in our lives today. It is God's presence that is going to turn around everything in our lives as individuals too. It is God's presence that is going to turn young people today who are plagued back to sobriety and back to the fear of God. It is God's presence that is going to make the biggest difference in our own homes. It is God's presence that is also going to help us turn our eyes back unto God as a nation so that God can instill even sound morals again back to us. God's presence is the missing something in our society today. We have to admit that the times are difficult. We also have to admit that we have a lot of heartache. We have a lot of suffering, and this suffering is real. If you live in this real world, then you cannot deny those facts. But if you're a Christian out there listening to this message today, please allow me to speak directly to your heart. Allow the Holy Spirit to woo you back unto God. Allow God to speak to you. Allow me to tell you a few things. One, I would like to remind you that you are God's representative. And because you are God's representative, you cannot afford to be carnal. That is because God is depending on you. God has put his children in different localities or different locales for his specific purposes. Geographically, God has put his children in strategic locations. He has put us in those locations because he has people in those areas who depend on us every day. So it does not matter whether it is on what you can call a micro, very small, or a macro location or macro level, very large location or level. God has put you there for a reason. People are depending on you at a different level. Believers and non-believers alike depend on you. Second, allow me to tell you this. Your closeness to God is going to determine the kind of help you're going to offer. Do you have power with God? Are you full of God's presence? Does God guide you? Or do you just move at the impulse of your own desires? Or do you let your own spirit control you and control your will? Do you control your own actions and your own movements? Allow me to ask you again one more question. When did you last move under the influence of God's power? When did you move under the influence of God's presence and God's anointing? You know, you have to understand the need of our hour today. This century, as I have pointed, is filled with desperate and hurting people. The misery that characterizes our time dictates that you and I have to be men and women of God. You have to be a man, you have to be a woman of God. You must know God. Allow me to tell you, number three, that you cannot afford to live in spiritual ignorance or in spiritual apathy. If you live in ignorance, if you live in apathy, then from where are you going to get the answers for those who are depending on you? Today, the world is suffering from a lack of godly individuals who are separated unto God. The world is suffering from a lack of those who are going to get hold of God, those who are going to prevail with God, and those who are going to stand against wickedness, those who are going to stand against the oppressive schemes of the enemy. Even our own churches, just like the world, we are standing in need of Christians who have a touch of God on them. You see, God's house must remain to be the incubator of God's power, so that those who come in with desperate needs, those who come in will not be disappointed. Instead, they are going to live free. They are going to live unbound. They are going to find the Savior. They are going to encounter Christ. God is the answer to a hurting people in our world. But empty, powerless, and carnal lives are not going to minister to the lives that we need, that we see today. If you let your life to continue to be empty, to continue to be powerless, and to continue to be carnal, then you're not going to minister effectively to the needs of our society. people who are hurting and people who are searching for real answers are looking for people who are sober, people who are sensible, people who are focused, people who are reliable, people who are knowledgeable, and those who are close to God. Those who are desperately in need of help are searching for men and women who know God. Many times you're going to find that those people will intentionally walk into God's house looking for help, or sometimes they will stray into God's house with hopes of finding help. And like the man who had his son vexed with the devil, those same people who are desperately in need of help are going to look for people who know God. They are going to look for people who are close to God because they have reached the end of their rope. They need true answers. Rarely are you going to find those people searching for others who are confused, who are chained, who are enslaved, because they know they cannot give them the help they're looking for. So if you are a child of God, come to grips with these questions as you allow God to minister to your heart. Do you have a word from God for those who are desperate? Do you have God's guidance? When did you last hear from God, you as an individual? Do you have what many are seeking? Or can you direct them? Can you help them? Are you disappointing people because you lack God's presence, because you lack God's power? Do you know people who might have benefited if you had the power and the presence of God right there in your life, and if you're operating under the move and under the influence of God? You know, we have very many comedians in the world today. In fact, we have many people who can tell jokes. We have lots of places where you're going to find entertainment and where you can find amusement. In fact, this century is filled with counselors. It is filled with people who can offer help, who can offer advice, and who can offer self-help. But you know, Christians have a God-given purpose. Please get me right. I don't mean you need to walk around like a sour apple. I don't mean you need to walk around with your long face like, oh, look at me. I am a Christian. I have no joy. I have no jokes that I can even tell. Those kind of faces or features don't attract anybody to Christ. That is not what I'm talking about. But as a Christian, you have a God-given purpose. God has given us from this, just like from the scripture we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 to 20, He has given us a ministry of reconciliation. We are His ambassadors. God uses us to redirect men and women back to Him. Those who are desperate, those who are in need of help, we direct them back to the Savior. We reconcile men and women to God so that they can be cleansed, so that they can be made whole, so that can also be set free and finally drink of the same fountain. So when God is missing, when God's presence is missing in your life, you are going to settle for substitutes. When God is absent, you like it or not, we are made in a way that something has to fill the void, the vacuum, the emptiness that hangs around us when God withdraws His abiding presence. And that is why we get into man-made ways to make up for what is missing. And that is what I call substitutes for God's presence. So what are some substitutes that we are quick to run to, or you'll be running to when God's presence is absent in your life? Number one, when God's presence is missing, you will turn to self-promotion. When God's presence is missing, you are going to do what is going to make those people who knew you to believe that you still have God's power, that you still have God's touch, and you still have His presence. In fact, you're going to work so hard to promote yourself and to draw people to yourself. How? You'll begin to seek popularity. You're going to go even as far as making people see you and praise you. You are going to change your methods. You're going to disguise them. Yet the agenda of your new life will be paramount at what you're doing. It is very hard to operate on your own, especially when you have once tested the power and the presence of God. In fact, it is very awkward. It is very confusing. And more than that, it is humbling. You see, when God has His presence abiding by you, like that pillar of cloud, like that pillar of fire, He puts His hand on you. He gives you power. His presence puts you actually in a place of honor, a place of respect. So when people look at you, they look at you like somebody who can give sound counsel. You point others to God. You meet their needs and you even grant their petitions in a way. They begin to look at you like one who has a word from God. But when you cease to operate under the power of God, when you don't have God hovering around you with His power, with His presence, the people's expectation don't stop immediately. But you who understands and who knows that God is no longer abiding with you, you decide to make up. You begin to seek for ways that are going to help you be set apart. You'll begin to even build your own pedestal so that you can remain in an honored position. Sometimes you will go even full flight seeking recognition. Worse still, you may even begin to seek advice from people and from places where you shouldn't. You will begin to look for different personalities, people in whose shadows you're going to hide so that you can make up for that missing something. It is interesting when you look at the life of Saul. The Bible records in 1 Samuel chapter 28, you can read this on your own from verse 1 to 10, that when Saul lost the presence of God in his life, he got so desperate that he began to seek counsel from a witch. In fact, when God would no longer speak to Saul, and when he would neither answer Saul's prayers, Saul resorted into contacting mediums and spirits. So when God's presence is missing, you will look for ways to promote yourself. And number two, when God's presence is missing, you will turn to entertainment. A departure of God's presence usually leaves a void that is going to leave you miserable, that is going to leave you desperate and yearning for something. Your own heart is going to bear that nagging. It is going to bear that longing. It is going to bear that there is that feeling that demands an action in you. And unless you can stand up and guard it, your heart is going to set you on a journey, or it will embark on a journey searching for entertainment. You're going to work to stay very busy. You'll try to suppress the desire of God in your life. You're going to spend so much time on what is going to amuse and what is going to entertain you, but this will not satisfy. King Solomon tried it and found that it was all vanity. After he had tried everything under the sun that would bring excitement, that would excite his flesh, in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, you look at verse 19, you look at verse 21 and 23, he came to one conclusion. All was vanity. Actually, it was like chasing after the wind. So that is what happens. You may also seek what is going to give you pleasure. You will seek what is going to give you a thrill. But still, this is not going to fill the void that is going to be created, or that will have been created by the absence of God. A student came to my office one Monday morning. Just from her demeanor, You could tell that her heart was very heavy. She had very many burdens to bear. So she poured her heart. She expressed disappointment in a church service that she had attended the previous day. She said, "You know, I have not gone to church in a while, and I should. I went to church yesterday because I really needed help from God. And frankly speaking, I was disappointed. We were entertained, but I did not receive any help." She went on to say, "Please don't get me wrong. We were treated to this fabulous dance. In fact, the crowd was somewhat crazy at the loud rock and roll music. The preaching sermon or the preaching session was more of a talk show with nothing of substance to help me. I need help." You know, as I contemplated on this, I could not help but think of how many, just like the lunatic could say, "I came to your house, but I did not find help." I wonder how many could say to God, just like that boy's father, and say, "Yes, I came to the house of God, but I did not find help." I wonder how many can point a finger in anger or even in desperation and say, "Your church is a social club. It is an entertainment center. You have lost your purpose. I did not find help. Something is missing. God was not there." When you lose God's presence, you cannot fulfill God's purposes in your life. You're going to look for what is going to pacify your hearers. Sometimes you may even engage them with modern day psychology, but they're going to miss God's help. They're going to miss God's touch. They are going to enjoy the show. They will listen with keenness. They will be entertained, but they are going to live empty. They're going to live helpless. When God's presence is missing, you are going to look for substitutes. One, we have said you're going to look for ways of promoting yourself. Number two, you're going to turn to entertainment. And number three, when God's presence is missing, you will deviate to do what is displeasing in the eyes of God. It is a very sad thing to walk in the flesh and to fulfill the lusts of the flesh, especially when you have once tasted the power of God and what has been embedded in God's presence. It is awful to walk in the flesh. It is awful to do everything in your own strength, to do everything in your own power, only to experience a lot of failure, only to experience disappointment. Because nothing can substitute effectively the power of God in your life. And nothing is going to get the job done in your life like the presence and the power of God. But when God withdraws his abiding presence, you know, you're left with that spirit of despair. You're left with emptiness. You're left with hopelessness. In fact, you're going to begin to envy those who are yielded to God. You may find yourself fighting against them, knowingly or unknowingly. Sometimes you may find it easy to blackmail them to find fault. This was the case with Saul. After Saul had disobeyed God, the Bible records that Saul sought to kill David. When you look at what is recorded in the first book of Samuel, chapter 18, verse 11 to 12, the Bible says, "And Saul cast a javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. And Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and he was departed from Saul." You know, Saul believed that his own people were actually conspiring against him. He believed that he was hated. He believed that no one even had pity on him. If you look at what is recorded in the first book of Samuel again, chapter 22 and verse 8. Saul continued in his rage until he executed 85 priests of God. He killed 85 servants of God. Why? God's presence was no longer with him. And when God withdrew his presence, Saul even behaved like one who was insane, like a madman. You look at what the Bible records in 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse 19, and you find it written there. And Nob, the city of priests, smote he with the edge of the sword, both men and women, children and sucklings, and oxen and asses and sheep with the edge of the sword. What am I saying? Powerless, helpless followers of Christ get oppressed by Satan, as we can see from Saul's case. Satan cannot inhabit a Christian, but he can oppress and harass Christians. You see, Satan delights in Christians who lack God's power. He enjoys working with those who are indulging in sin because he knows the first thing that is going to deprive you of God's presence and God's power is sin. So, the way you're going to deal effectively with Satan is to move under the power and the anointing of God. This is the way you're going to help individuals. This is how you're going to expose Satan's schemes. And this is how you're going to get God's presence and God's power back into your life. You know, human schemes are just going to blind you, but God's power is going to liberate. Human efforts, if you're trying to help people, if you employ them, they're going to pacify them, but it is God's power that is going to bring that effective change. How are you today? What is your life like? When did you lose the touch of God? When did you deviate from that right path that you had once enjoyed before? Can you remember what was going on at that time? And what is your situation right now? Can you identify what is keeping you from God's power, from God's presence in your life? God's presence is your safest safeguard in life, anywhere in the world. God's presence is that fundamental need of our hour. And it is God's presence that every Christian needs earnestly today. God's presence in the church is what is primarily needed in the century today. God's presence is that desperate need for homes. It is that desperate need in our nation today. You can have God's power again. You don't have to move under the influence of your substitutes. You don't have to run for entertainment. You don't have to run for self-promotion. You don't have to remain in your own lukewarmness. God wants to help you.
Thank you for tuning into Healing for Your Heart. You can contact Amelia Kenya through her website, ameliakenya.com. That's AmiliaKenya.com. There, you will also find spiritual resources through her following books, Prayer and Spiritual Warfare, Spiritual Victory for the 21st Century, Back to God for Healing, The Power of a Woman, and God's Presence, The Missing Something.